What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
This is the new Weight Watchers. It works for members like JoJo, who's learning simple, healthy habits, Sharia, who's making progress with meds, and Kim, who still gets to eat what she loves. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now it's your turn. Watch your life open up. Watch your story shift. Watch what you're capable of. Watch it work. Get started today at WeightWatchers.com.
The one and only Darren Green Show. Oh boy, child, it has been a minute since I've been on here. Well, I mean, it's been a week. Every time I don't do a show for a week, it's just, you get what I'm saying? It feel like I haven't been here for months. But anyway, hello and welcome again to the Darren Green Show, your weekly dose of pop culture news, music, social media gossip, and reality TV. Please be sure that if you are watching this on YouTube, to leave your thoughts in the comments. Also, be sure to leave a like. And if you're not subscribed to the channel by now, girl, subscribe to that goddamn channel. And to the audio listeners, hey, be sure to leave a rate and review. We love those. We love to see that the people on the audio side are listening and following and subscribing and all that. So, hey, what's going on? It's been a minute since we had a conversation. We definitely have a good number of conversations to talk about, honey, in the course of these 2 weeks. I keep on saying 2 weeks. It's been a week since I've been on. No, I mean, I didn't do an episode last week because it just wasn't enough stuff going on. And then also, child, it was some family trouble, child, on Saturday. I had no time to write out what I wanted to say. And then when I got to set Sunday, I'm just like grasping at straws of what the hell to talk about, and the topics weren't even all that interesting. So I said, girl, I'm gonna just give him some reels throughout the week, give him some reels, some TikTok videos, you get what I'm saying, and I go about my merry on day. Okay, but I am back. Oh, my bomb is off. Let me do it again. Yes, I am back, and let me just tell you something. I need y'all to pray for me, fingers crossed. You get what I'm saying? Because I started this new job. Everything's doing well. Everything's doing fine. Let me just let y'all know. Everything is fine, but it is temp. You get what I'm saying? It's temp to perm. But and this is the type of temp where if something comes up, you can apply for it and then you'll become permanent. So it's not like temp to perm. Okay, you start 4 months and then you become perm, right? So a new position has opened up and that I was interested in. My manager was like, what are we waiting for? Apply for it. So, and it's definitely the yearly income. Okay. I'm doing a little clock it finger thing for the audio listeners, child. Cause that yearly income, I'm like, okay, now this would expedite a lot of things. Okay. So I just want you guys to pray for me, child. Pray for me. Hopefully I get a Elisa interview. I mean, I gotta stop saying hopefully I am gonna get this position. I'm manifesting it. I think I'm ready for it. I think I understand this company. Not in its entirety, but I have an understanding, a better understanding from what I did. Because let me tell you something. When I first came in here, it was like, I was like my first couple weeks, there was so many positions opening. And then after I started to get acclimated a little bit with the company, then all the positions done went away. And then some started to gradually come. So this one, I'm interested in it. It's more of a financial money thing, back to money. But it is back office. So I'm not dealing with the customer service. Because let me tell y'all something, child. I can't do that customer service shit, okay? I can do it. I have the ability to do it. Let's be very clear. But for, honey, not for too long, honey. It's not given. People are just insufferable, especially when it comes to money. I learned that working at the bank. Like, when it comes to people and they money, child, they turn to demons, okay? This job in particular, being that it's a call center, I'm not in these people's faces. So, yeah, there's times I got cursed out. And I'm just like, okay, well, at the end of the day, you're not getting this. You get what I'm saying? If you want to talk to the manager, I'll write up to her and whatever is that to her. You ain't like, you get what I'm saying? It's like that. You get what I'm saying? It's not your force in spaces with people and you have to like, because it's more of a performance. Because then, you know, when they get rowdy in public, you got to keep your cool in all situations, even if it's call center or not. But I don't know. It's just something about people in public. No, I can't do that in public context. Girl, these people will make you go crazy. They'll make you go crazy. So I'm just looking for something that's more back office and just in my cubicle. I said, look, let me tell you something. I told him after I graduated college, I said, I'm either going to be doing two things. I need to be in a cubicle or behind the mic. Now I'm doing both. Okay. Now I'm doing both. You get what I'm saying? And I think it is what it's going to have to be. You have to live in your reality while you're pursuing your dreams. So that's that on that. I think we're 5 minutes in. Do I have anything else to talk about? Because I'll just be yapping, honey. I mean, one other thing I wanted to talk about. I am working on a new project for this channel. And possibly we're going to see if we can make this into a new podcast. I have some of the stuff that I need as far as like production-wise for the videos and stuff like that. I don't know if I want to give out too much information just yet because I'm still working on things and trying to rework things. I've changed the channel name back to Darren Green TV. So I've just been thinking, child. That's another reason why I haven't been doing a podcast because I'm just like, I'm going to use this day to really work on what I need to work on as far as this new project and then where I want the platform to go and stuff like that. So I'm glad that you guys are bearing with me. Okay, and y'all have bared with me enough. Let's get into these hot topics. We have a lot to talk about, honey. We got to talk about Tyla and that damn flop EP. We also have to talk about how Drake and his legal team is acting weird as hell, child. I don't know what's going on with that. We got to talk about Sean Kingston finally being sentenced, that damn scammer. We got to talk about Cardi B in this Crash Out album rollout, okay? We got to talk about that, all that and more coming up on the Darren Green Show, okay? Now, we can start with talking about Tyla. Now, I like Tyla. I think y'all need to stop. Is she a diva? Yeah. I mean, there was a lot of divas. You get what I'm saying? But I think, anyway, let me read this little excerpt and I'm going to give you guys my thoughts. I'm going to layer everything, right? So Tyla is getting dragged online after her EP WWP flop, sadly only selling 3,700 units. Yeah, that was unfortunate for her. So the numbers came in and folks were quick to marvel and clown her for the numbers that she got from this project. And people are talking about how this is a direct result of the colored conversation and also the uppity African controversy as to why the numbers did what they did. And I talked about this on my TikTok, shared it on here as well. When it comes to Tyla in this EP, first of all, there was a number of reasons why I felt like the EP just did not do what it was supposed to do. First of all, it's an EP. it's an EP. You get what I'm saying? I think it's incredibly unfair to critique a project that only had four songs. It only had four songs and none of the songs on there were like singles. I mean, Bliss was a really good song. Let me tell you something. I'll be listening to Bliss every time I go to work. I don't care what none of y'all say, because y'all be saying, oh, Tyla, she a one trick pony. She do the same sounding songs. That's what? Same sounding songs. Are you crazy? I cannot like somebody, but then also give them their props when it's due. I can also drag somebody and criticize somebody because I felt like the color conversation, it definitely... We'll get into it. I can still drag you for that, but I can still admit that your music is tea. We've come to that point now where it's, oh, I don't like this person, so automatically her music is just trash. Like, y'all are, that's just weird. But anyway, yeah, it's very unfair to critique an EP that only has four songs. Let's be clear about EPs. EPs are for the core audience. The EPs are for a core audience. You get what I'm saying? Half the time, people don't even know when an artist's EP is out unless you are a diehard fan. Now, it looks like she ain't got that many diehard fans because it's only 3,000 units. But that's really what it's for. And then also, name me an EP that really made it. You get what I'm saying? That really was like successful. I'm talking hitting the charts number one or at least in the top tens. You never seen that before. You never seen it before. I wouldn't say you never seen it before. There's people that had successful EPs in the past, but I'm talking about these last like 2020 to 2025. You better name me. I want somebody to comment if you're on YouTube or on Spotify, because you can comment on Spotify, child. I want you to comment right now. Name me an EP between 2020 and 2025 that was successful. Let me get my other mic. Come on. Let's go. Y'all gotta stop. Come on, stop. You get what I'm saying? And also, there was a lack of promotion. Her team is really, girl, get a new team, because it's given RCA. What is Tyla's team? Like, I need to see what her label is. Hold on, I'm about to look that up, girl. Hold on. Epic Records? I never even heard of that. That sound like, oh no, I have. Okay, hold on. Epic Records is an American record label owned by Sony Music. Oh, Sony. Yeah. Sony. Yeah, that when I read Sony, that told me everything I needed to know. Yeah, they did not promote this album at all, and they left you for dead hoe. Like, when I tell you, I did that TikTok video, I want to say on Tuesday, I found out the shit came out in July. The shit came out in July. Okay. Whew, buddy. And I just found out about that shit, like, literally, because I knew Bliss was a song that she dropped, but I ain't know an EP dropped. Girl. Yeah, no, it's they are really, the fact that they had this girl, they didn't give her a budget for glam and stuff like that, and hair and stuff like that. They put her in a damn Shake and Go wig for a concert promotion. I'm like, oh my God, what are they doing over there? They are, like, it's sad because Tyla is a really talented artist. Like, I said this to my girl Medusa and all that before, and I'm down on the hill, I don't care. Tyla gives early Rihanna and all the cutesy outfits and stuff like that, and island, well, I wouldn't say island, but it's, you know, her, she uses like a lot of Afrocentric type beats and music and stuff like that. I don't know what the exact word for her genre is, because it's not Afro beats. It's a subcategory in that. But she gives me early Rihanna. You get what I'm saying? And I think that she can evolve. Like, I can see her doing pop music and stuff like that. But y'all just being like, oh my God, I just feel like she's too uppity, or she's too this, that, the third. I think what happened was, and this is something that Pablo de Don, they really made a good point on TikTok, saying that being that y'all have a disdain for Tyla, y'all waited with bated breath, okay, to one day see that she was going to flop with something. Y'all waited for the first flop to be like, yep, that's why you flop, because you uppity, you don't like Black Americans, or you was this, that, and the third. And let's really talk about that too, because that's where I run into the problems with us entitled Americans. Let's be very clear on that. Y'all be wanting to humble somebody. Somebody come from their country and this, that, and the third. They want to make a life here, or want to gain some more fans and more outreach in this country, because this is the melting pot and this is where you go to be successful. This is America. You get what I'm saying? It's still whatever. But I feel like we kind of pick and choose. As Americans, we do kind of pick and choose who we want to humble when it comes to these international artists or actors. Let's be very honest. Rihanna wasn't born here either. She was an island girl. You get what I'm saying? And she came here, and she is a diva. She had her diva moments. Ain't nobody said nothing about it. You get what I'm saying? Because I guess everybody likes Rihanna. Rightfully so. Rihanna could be a diva if she wants to be. Like, that's, she's Rihanna. Like, what? You get what I'm saying? But you don't give that same grace to somebody else. And I feel like it's a little bit of entitlement, because it's like with the whole, and I was with everybody with the color comment. Let's be very clear. I was with everybody. I felt like it was kind of in poor taste. And then for you to get on the Breakfast Club, and when they were trying to ask you the question so you can do a little bit of damage control, you pointed to your publicist to tell Charlamagne that we're not having those conversations. Right. And girl, we know how this works. We know that you tell your publicist, and before the interview even starts, you have them tell them what not to ask. So obviously he probably thought it was on the table, because we didn't. You get what I'm saying? So I felt like with that moment, I definitely looked at her sideways, but I still was, I'm like, okay, well, whatever. They got their own thing. They called each other colored over there. That they got that. She don't understand the stuff that the colored conversation that we have here in America, whatever this, that, the third. But I was not dragging her for the uppityness, her telling people to hold her award and stuff like that. When we saw other artists, you get what I'm saying, that same night, they didn't ask nobody to hold their award, but they put it down because the shit was heavy. You get what I'm saying? So I was like, y'all trying to pick and choose. Y'all trying to pick and choose, which I don't, y'all. And it's kind of rooted. It is, okay. So because the whole conversation was, Tyla acts like a lot of these other immigrants that migrate here and are basically like entitled and rude to the born Americans that live here. You get what I'm saying? It's like we are kind of disrespected by, and there is truthness to that. There are people that come to this country and they are entitled. They get all kinds of benefits. And I'm not trying to sound like the right. You get what I'm saying? But we do understand that there are people that come here that are ignorant. They bring crime or they bring whatever, they bring their businesses and it affects some other people's bags and stuff like that. We get that. I think that y'all are trying to place that onto Tyla, and I think that's where it's that. No, I don't think that those two are connected. I'm just being honest. That's just how I feel. If you feel another way, then that's fine. But I don't think that was Tyla. And I think that because we made that connection, it's kind of, it's a little bit of a microaggression, like a little xenophobia in there. I mean, it's a little bit, but there's xenophobia on her side as well, because let's be very clear. I think another reason why people are not feeling Tyla is because of her African fans. And I'm just going to be honest with y'all. Her damn African fans are xenophobic as fuck. I'm not going to hold you. When it was her whole color conversation and then the uppity African thing, when I tell you there were Africans dragging Black Americans for their life. Okay, let's be very clear on that. That was definitely a thing. There was Black Americans that was even defending Tyla, and then the Africans were still coming for them. I'm just like, well, goddamn, y'all. And then the whole thing of is, oh, the same old dragon, the same old reeds. Oh, you don't know your culture and all that. You don't know where you come from, and y'all are cultureless and this, that, and the third. And let me just say something to that, because when that conversation comes up, and it always rears its ugly head, when Africans says that about Black Americans, I just think that, and I'm just speaking for myself, I don't know why they think that we, for the most part, give a fuck about where we came from. I can only speak for myself. I never was interested in taking a DNA sample and sending it to Ancestry.com to figure out what tribe I was in, my ancestors or some shit like that. Honey, I'm from New Jersey. Like, I ain't from New Jersey. That is my culture. You get what I'm saying? Honey, we soul food, hip hop. You get what I'm saying? Honey, that is our culture. You get what I'm saying? We made culture. We were able to create culture within this goddamn country. Okay? We don't care if we don't know where the hell damn our tribe is. 9 times out of 10, y'all ancestors probably sold us. Anyway, ooh, girl, let me stop. But no, your fans will have you fucked up. I think that's what the deal is here. I think that her fans definitely, it put a bad taste in a lot of Black Americans' mouth. And it's just at this point, like, you saying that we don't got culture, but your girl is trying to come in on our shit. Hello? Like, it doesn't look right. I think the only part in that Tyla was responsible for was checking your fans. Because at least if you were to check your fans, you would have shown that you care about, you know, the people that you're trying to, I'm not going to say pander to, but the people that you're trying to promote your music to. And then when that happens, nobody shows up or nobody is advocate. I seriously think that it was a lack of promotion at the end of the day, and there was other things at play as to why this EP didn't do well. We'll see what she'll do with an album. And we'll have the same conversation again. But until she drops an album, then we'll know if her career is cooked. Because I don't think her career is cooked. I think she makes really good music. It sounds really good to me. And I think her music, I think a lot of people like her music and stuff. This was a misstep, and she'll come back and do what she got to do, come out with the next single that's going to be like a hit sensation. Like, people really be saying that she's a one-hit wonder. I don't think she's a one-hit wonder. I think she had a couple of hits. Like, I think once you make it past three hits, like, she had Water, and then she had that other one, Push to Start, which was a really popular, it was a really popular on TikTok. And then Bliss, I think Bliss was a really interesting song too. I mean, even though they was kind of clowning her because she was crying about in the music video, and it was like a sexual type of video. I mean, look, girl, I don't think she's a flop. I think she's going to move on and take it with a grain of salt and dust yourself off and try again. And then hopefully you'll make some more hits, okay? That's what we hope for, Tyler. Now, girl, we got to talk about this Drake and it. Drake, ugh, girl. Drake and his legal team is pissing me off. Let's talk about him for a second. This ain't going to be a long topic, honey. We just going to tell the facts, and then I'm going to give a couple of my opinions. Okay, Drake's ongoing case against Universal Music Group. His legal team has reportedly filed a 75-page document requesting information on an alleged domestic violence claims against Kendrick Lamar, as well as information on Day Free's children. Now, Drake's team reportedly made the filing Tuesday. They wanted to use the receipts as part of a discovery phase in Drake's lawsuit accusing UMG for promoting Kendrick's diss track, Not Like Us. Apparently, they wanted documents from 2014 to now relate to domestic violence against women and other forms of violence by Kendrick. Another request reportedly asked for records from the 2019 to present Dave Free's relationship with Kendrick and his kids. Okay. Apparently, they wanted documents for 2014. Now relating to domestic violence. But it doesn't stop there. They reportedly want documents from Pusha T's diss, a story of addendum, to see if UMG censored any lyrics that could have been defamatory. I said this before and I'll say this again. It smell like snitch bitch up in here. Okay. You trying to look for somebody for some domestic violence documents? You think people are documenting that shit? I mean, and then also, what is this going to prove? Like, I feel like, is it to discredit? Or is, oh, what Kendrick says, he's so high and mighty, but actually he's a DV abuser. There's really no proof of that. I'm not saying that it's not true. I mean, if he's asking for it, I mean, it could be some truthfulness to it. And if that's the case, then Kendrick, you ain't shit. But there, that's really left field. I mean, I've never heard that before. I think that's the first time I know that Kendrick has a history of cheating on his wife and stuff like that, and them having like marital woes, but domestic violence? I don't know. I mean, I think this is a reach for the stars. Like, honestly, Drake is going to try to do any and everything to basically, I don't know what he's trying to do. I don't know why this case is still even going. I mean, you're trying to prove that the whole point, you think that UMG catapulted this, they got that much power to catapult this Not Like Us song to try to say that, oh no, these are bots or whatever the case is, whatever the hell. You get what I'm saying? And no, like at the end of the day, you lost fair and square and then you went to the freaking police, not to the police, but you went to the authorities. You're trying to sue because a song that called you a foul was the biggest song of the year. And that's something that you can't fake. Because them people showed up to his concerts in the stadiums. You can't fake that. These aren't bots. Honey, we listen to that song. And then we listen to it and we listen to it and listen to it again, honey. We listen to the song. Accept defeat and move the fuck on. Because while I'm hearing, there was an update too. Because I had just had found something. They said Universal Music Group rejects Drake's claim the CEO was involved in Kendrick's diss track, calling it absurd. Like, at the end of the day, Kendrick submitted a song. Universal Music Group had to, I mean, they put it through. I mean, like, what more do you want? You wanted them to block the song? Because it was talking about you. This is where I'm like, okay, y'all, that's some bitch shit. Don't ever call yourself a rapper. Like, you are an entertainer. Like, what? Like, you lose the damn rap beef and now you want to. So I feel like he wants to get the song removed to wipe it from its existence. And it's never going to happen. It's going to always be on the internet. Whether you get that, whether you get it taken off or not. And Kendrick got everything he wanted from that. He riled you the fuck up. Because, honey, you were spiraling in the courtroom. Girl, I'm moving on off this topic, child. I'm tired of talking about his Drake bitch ass. But anyway, I did want to talk about this for a second because we touched on this earlier in the week. So we're talking about Kirk Frost's daughter, Kelsey, and the whole situation with her boyfriend T. Hood's murder and how they're saying that it was Kelsey's brother, which is Kurt and Rashida's son, that shot the man. And at one point, there are some images that have been released. Shout out to Gossip of the City, because this is the only place I only see where I saw all of that. We're showing pictures of Kelsey that now she looks like she's gotten beaten up. There's also some video footage. I'm sorry for the audio listeners, but yeah, there's also some video footage of him being abusive. Like, we're talking domestic violence. So this only confirms my notion that, like I said on my previous reel, I think that T. Hood did something to Kelsey and Kelsey went to her brothers and the brothers wanted to rough him up a bit or whatever. I mean, this is something that this happens all the time. It doesn't normally end in death. They wanted to get their get back and then it got into the point where guns was, because they were trying to say that T. Hood was shot. It was a defense. It was in self-defense, like of the brother. The brother was defending himself because T. Hood was whatever the case is, right? I just wish it didn't get to it. The cops should have been called. Yeah. I mean, I feel this is a really sticky situation. At first, people weren't on the Frost side. I mean, I don't think that the boy should go to jail. I think if it's self-defense, it's self-defense. And if that's the case, she got beat by her ex-boyfriend. I mean, that explains everything. Doesn't make it right, but that at least explains why this happened and what was going on with it. So, like I said, the story is updating and they're still doing investigation. So we'll get like a final word on what was going on over there. And me, I'm gonna let you know. Now, anyway, let's talk about some fraudulent ass individuals, child. Not Sean Kingston, child. He done got sentenced to 3 years. Girl, let me get into this. So it says that Sean Kingston has finally been sentenced after he was found guilty of federal conspiracy to commit fraud and 4 counts of wire fraud with his mother in March. The pair schemed to defraud luxury services of over $1 million, providing fake payment receipts or sometimes promising payment and receiving things like watches, jewelries, and bulletproof car and more. Kingston's mother, 63, was sentenced to 5 years in prison and 3 years of supervised release. While Kingston seemingly got a sweeter deal, he appeared in court and apologized to the judge and stated that he learned from his actions. The artist was sentenced to 3.5 years in prison. His lawyer attempted to have the judge allow him to self-surrender at a later date, but the judge refused and had him taken into custody on the spot. Honey, you in jail, honey. The U.S. attorney says he believes that Kingston is addicted to his celebrity lifestyle, though he can't afford it and clearly doesn't like to pay relays on celebrity status defraud his victims. Now, let me just say this, because I went down the whole rabbit hole with the Sean Kingston thing. I mean, yeah, he was getting jewelry. He was getting jewelry from these companies and these cars saying that, oh, he's going to pay them back. Never paid the people back. I mean, it got to the point where this motherfucker bought a jet. He ain't buy a jet. He got a jet and bought, I think, got a, what is it called when you, I'm shooting blanks, child. He didn't buy the jet, but basically he put a down payment on this or some shit like that and then said that he was going to pay them back and never paid that company back. I'm like, and this is why I say, we have to live in our reality. We have to live in our reality, okay? You are a one-hit wonder. There should be no one-hit wonder. Okay, well, maybe he was a two-hit wonder because he had Beautiful Girl and then the other song that had Nicki on it. Okay, a two-hit wonder. You get what I'm saying? Two-hit wonder. Ain't no way in the world you should be ever buying or trying or inquiring to buy a goddamn private jet. And he was trying to, because he used to be friends with Justin Bieber or whatever, he was using his name to be like, oh yeah, he co-signing and this and that. I'm like, are you crazy? No, we have to live in our realm. We have to accept the fact that we are not who we are anymore. You were this big celebrity. You probably made so much money when it was the heyday. But you have to understand that this is, like this lawyer said, like this attorney said, you are addicted to your celebrity lifestyle that you don't have anymore. You didn't pivot. You didn't make any other song that's going to hit. So you're using your celebrity status. I mean, I know it's embarrassing because imagine being a famous person that's broke. That's kind of bad. You get what I'm saying? You have to go back into the world and people see you and people know who you are. You get what I'm saying? But you didn't pivot. A lot of celebrities pivot. They do other things in their life to sustain their living. But you were scamming. You scammed and you scammed. You couldn't scam anymore, child. They done got your ass fraud. Federally. Girl, what are we doing? Honestly. Y'all will tell me what y'all think about that in the comments, child. I don't like scammers. Because you was getting stuff from people. And you said, oh, I'm going to pay him back. You ain't never paid them hoes back. Anyway, I want to talk about Teyana Taylor for a second. Just for a second, honey. Because I know she was in the headlines earlier this week as well. And I'm just like, damn. I need her. Look, she doing so well. She messing with Aaron Pierre. Fine ass. You know what I'm saying? And then she got to deal with this goddamn motherfucker. Iman. Anyway, let's get into it. It says that Teyana Taylor has been ordered to pay her ex-husband Iman $70,000 in legal fees after being found in contempt of court, U.S. Weekly reports. A judge ruled on August 5th that Teyana willfully violated her divorce judgment by disclosing prohibited information in a March 19th Instagram video. The court denied her claims that unleaked details to the press, stating that she failed to provide even a minimal amount of diligence to support her allegations. Iman argued Taylor had the means to pay his attorney fees, citing her multiple film roles in upcoming TV series. The order noted she refused to answer questions about her assets and income. And I do remember when she spoke out trying to say that he leaked information or he was telling information to the press. I mean, that was her not crying, but letting us know that he is literally trying to defame me and trying to make me out to be the bad guy. This was my response. And now she is held in contempt. Why is she paying his legal fees anyway? She may be the breadwinner. And that's fine. But I'm like, nigga, he was an athlete. I don't know if he said he's not playing no more, but I know he still get a check. You get what I'm saying? I think that's some whole shit. I'm sorry. I'm just being honest with you. That's some whole shit. For him to be doing this and for him to be acting like this, let the girl go. Okay. So if you want to split things in half, split it in half, do whatever you want to do. You want to get a piece. And then I'm telling you, he going to get you for spouse support. He gonna try to get your ass for spouse support. Don't let him marry J. Blige you. Do not let him marry J. Blige you. Because, girl, Mary J. Blige be paying. She got to pay that damn man. I feel so bad because she trying to move on. She, like I said, he probably mad because Aaron Pierre probably blowing her back out and doing all the things that he couldn't provide. Let's be very clear. That's Green Lantern. You are an ex-athlete. So it's a little bit of bitterness going on. I never pegged Iman as this weirdo. Like, it's giving Offset. It's very weird. I feel bad for Teyana. I'm like, damn, $70,000? Girl, what in the hell? Girl. Well, she going to get through this, okay? She going to get through this, and we definitely going to keep you updated, child. But, girl, we got to figure that out. Anyway, before I get into the main topic, I do want to talk about some other things as well. Why Amanda Seales got on Jubilee? This girl got on Jubilee and argued, because this ain't no debate. She was arguing with about 20 black conservatives. Take a look at this.
culture is toxic. And let's get on the fact that there's no fathers
so
in
white
the black
culture
home.
Let's talk about that. We all deserve a right to exist, and I shouldn't have to earn my right to exist. And that is what capitalism does.
What makes you think
does.
That you have to earn it? That's what
that
I'm saying.
That is what
like,
this nation
that
is.
Way.
You do you, have I, to earn it.
You don't
you
have
do.
To earn
yes,
it.
You do.
We're
that is
America,
why we are criminalizing
Amanda?
The poor.
Well, here's
so
what you all keep doing. You keep interrupting me when I'm talking, and you don't want to hear the point that I'm going to make. And yet you want me to respect your point. And that's not how a debate works. If I show you respect, give me the respect back. Ooh, I knew I was going to be surrounded by ignorance, but damn, let's go. My first claim is it is undeniable that reparations are just and necessary. My next claim is that black-on-black crime is a result of underinvestment and over-policing. My next claim is systemic racism isn't a theory. It's our lived reality backed by data and history. My final claim is black conservatism fails to meet the needs of the working class. Greetings. I am Amanda Seales, widely known as a comedian, an actress, a disruptor, an annoying person on the internet who always tells the truth. And I am now an artistic intellectual who commits myself to making art that educates. And today, I am surrounded by 20 black conservatives.
I used to watch Jubilee because I thought it was very interesting. Like, I remember this one time they had this video. It was a rabbi, a Catholic priest, and an atheist having a conversation about the universe and God and all this other stuff. And I think they were smoking a joint too, which I thought was like kind of unethical for the rabbi and the priest, the Catholic priest. Or maybe it was just the atheist that was smoking weed. I don't know. But I thought it was an interesting conversation, and they had commonality, even though they have like polar opposite viewpoints on life in the universe and the higher power or whatever you want to call it. It never felt it enraged me. Like, it never felt like it was a rage. Like, when you look at Jubilee now, and like, when you have some of these conservatives come on, I feel like they highlight more on the conservatives, because the conservatives will say some shit that is just so out of the, like, the norm. It's just like, what the hell? Like, you agree with fascism? That literally was a person that came on there and said, I am for fascism. And I think that's where things get a little dangerous. And I was talking to a friend that was like, oh, well, people need to understand that people like that exist. I know people like that exist. I don't need to see them on this big ass platform. You get what I'm saying? I think with this, now looking, because it's the first time you're watching it in its entirety. I think it's problematic, but I don't think it's like dangerous, but you put 20 people, and I'm not saying that Amanda Seales does not have the, I feel like Amanda Seales is too much of a hothead, because you can tell some of the parts in there, I was like, oh girl, she angry. I do think she's the right person for this. I want to see, now if Jubilee really wanted to start some shit, put Amanda Seales with Candace Owens. Candace will do it. She need the money. Because that French president and that first lady child trying to sue that girl for $10 million, put her on there. She needs some work. She needs a job. Okay. I think that would be interesting. This is stupid. I'm not even going to watch this. I support my girl Amanda Seales. I like Amanda Seales. I don't care what nobody says. She can be annoying sometimes, but it is what it is. I'm not going to like everything that everybody does. But I think that a lot of her activism is valid, and her willingness to talk about the things that nobody else wants to talk about. I love that about her. It's very unfortunate that she, because of it, she got blackballed. Nobody wants to work with her. She's basically an independent creative. I think her podcast deal kind of went through because of her ideologies and stuff like that. But it just is, it comes with the territory, I guess. I don't know, but Jubilee has gotten very divisive. I think that you can have opposing viewpoints, but I don't think you should be putting people on, especially when we get to the LGBT stuff and we got, conservative LGBT, liberal LGBT, and it was very toxic. You just get mad watching it. I don't ever watching something that enrages me. Like, I feel like that's what content creation has now become, and I think that's so unfortunate. I do apologize if I make y'all mad because of the stuff that I say. If I make anybody mad, it is what it is. I make somebody mad here, I make somebody glad there. You get what I'm saying? It doesn't matter. But I try not to rage bait. I mean, I know that, understand that a little bit of rage, like just a little bit of rage baiting gets your videos and your content far, but I try not to rage bait. And I hate when other platforms do that as well, because it's just like, you used to watch social media shows just to unwind, just to escape. You get what I'm saying? A little bit of escapism, a little bit of entertainment. You laugh a little bit. Now it's become, you either all left or you're all right. You're down with, I'm down with the blue. I'm down with Trump. I'm down with this, that, and the third. It's just become so divisive and just divided. Like, people like me that love to live on the fence cannot survive, because there's some videos that I come out with and people think that because of my take that I'm a part of this or I'm a part of that. No, I have an opinion on this. I may be on the fence with this. I'm not going to 100% be on a side of certain things. Sometimes I do pick sides and sometimes I'm on that fence. People hate it when you're on the fence, honey. Because it's just pick a side. No, I'm not. Anyway, that's my little take on that Jubilee thing. I love to talk about stuff like that sometimes. But anyway, we got to talk about the main topic. We got to talk about Cardi B. I was going to get into her. I wanted to wait a little bit, get y'all on here for a little bit before we talk about Cardi B in this goddamn rollout. Okay. Miss Cardi B is having a hell of an album rollout, from dropping new singles to getting into controversy with people on TikTok and having situations that could have 100% be avoided. Let's be clear. But no controversy doesn't get eyes on you. So you got to do what you got to do to make sure you're selling out this album. We all know about the fatphobic comments. I don't think I have to go over everything that was talked about. She made a joke about her plus size artists, plus size fans that bought her merch, her 3XL shirts, and she called them fat. People that bought her. I still, to this day, I find it so funny that, imagine, somebody said this on TikTok, imagine, you know, how this economy is, right? Everything's expensive. Everything is high up the wooza, or whatever. I made that word up. Everything is high as hell. You get what I'm saying? And the last little bit of money, you wanted to buy your faves merch. And she called you a fat ass. Girl, I will be looking to return this shit. I will report this damn transaction fraud to my bank. Everything. I'm getting my money back. Okay. Ain't no way in the world. That's crazy. And her going back and forth with the TikTok creator, Samira, really didn't make anything better. A lot of her fans were dragging the girl. Samira is a TikTok creator that's known for her, I don't want to say activism, because I'm not trying to be jokeful, but she's an advocate for bigger, heavier set people. You get what I'm saying? And she made a comment about what Cardi said, and Cardi was like, girl, shut the hell up. It's not that deep. It's not that serious. I get dragged for having a BBL. In the midst of all this drama, child, she has managed to drop another single, and that's The Imaginary Players. It's a sample of Jay-Z's song, Imaginary Players. And she has dropped it, and I mean, it's number one on iTunes, if I'm not mistaken, so far. It's like 100 and something on Spotify. We're talking about 300,000 streams as of right now, since I've looked at it. Okay, so I'm gonna touch on the controversy, and then we're gonna talk about this damn lukewarm single. I'm just be honest. I'm gonna say the last final word in that conversation with the fatphobic conversation, and then we're gonna talk about The Imaginary Players, because a lot of people had, there's a lot of mixed reviews. But at the end of the day, Cardi, you could have just said nothing. You could have said nothing. The moment you got a bit of pushback because of the fat jokes, you should have kept that shit pushing. Because eventually they would have stopped. But see, what you did was you got in people's comments, and then you made response after response, and then you were dragging people, you were just screaming, just in agony. And oh my God, you're not going to sit there and talk about my kid. You're not going to sit there and talk about this. And at the end of the day, I get dragged. All this stuff. You could, and now, and see, you be giving these damn TikTokers, and see, you learned about TikTok today. You learned about TikTok, because at the end of the day, you got it under somebody's comments. And now they have content for days. Now they can make their response video, because you can reply to the comments with a video. And at the end of the day, you thought you was going to have the final say. You're never going to have the final say on the internet. I don't care who you are. You're not God. You get what I'm saying? You're not going to have the final word. And people are going to have a response. You put it out there. You said what you said. People had a response. And people just, you're entitled to make jokes and you're entitled to say what you want. People are also entitled to say what they want and fit and say that, hey, I was offended by this. I found the conversation very aggravating, especially because Cardi is too stupid to really understand that not every critique is an attack on her life. I thought that was very dumb. I thought that, and it really wasn't just her. At this point, it's not just her, because this conversation opened the floodgates for a lot of fatphobic people to make comments saying, well, you big asses just need to go and work out and just eat right. And this, that, and the third. I mean, maybe if you lose weight, you ain't gonna have these problems or these jokes ain't gonna affect you. It's like y'all telling motherfuckers how to feel. Y'all telling, you can't tell people. And that was what this whole situation was about. Y'all were trying to tell people what they can and cannot be offended by. What is offensive and what's not offensive. What she said was very offensive. If we all know what racism looks like. We all know what homophobia looks like. Because I'm pissed at all the marginalized groups that had some shit to say. We know what racism looks like. We just had a conversation about Sydney Sweeney and that damn eugenics freaking American Eagle commercial. We know what racism is. We know what homophobia is. Every time somebody says something homophobic, the gays, sick them. You get what I'm saying? But when a fat person says they are offended by some fat phobic jokes, it'd be one thing. Now, let me tell you something. I'm heavier set too. I love a good fat joke. That wasn't even a good fat joke. If you're going to make a fat joke, make a good one. You eat too much Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A is not the place, girl. Now, if you would have said something, maybe some Popeyes, maybe some KFC or some shit. Okay, you would have got a chuckle or something, girl. No, we all know what those things are. But when it comes to a bigger person saying, hey, I don't like this. I find this offensive. It gets hit with so much vitriol. And this expectation that fat people need to be jolly all the time. And just like, you know, the world is no, bitch. I'm going to say what I'm going to say. And we know that you said, well, they come for me for my BBL. Going back to Cardi, like, girl. Yeah, you had your children and you got work done. You said you'd rather get work. You rather die on the table. You said this. You rather die on the table than to be fat. Do you not see how fat phobia affects you too? Because, honey, you're willing to die on the damn table. You don't care. But I'm going to die looking good. How stupid do you sound? And I think that this conversation is way too intelligent for her. And I think she's just getting her feelings. Honestly, I honestly think that she's just doing this for, like I said, rage baiting. She's rage baiting so people can see what she's doing. Oh, she's promoting an album. But that's not how you do it, girl. Because when you isolate certain groups of people, that's not good for numbers. It's not good for numbers. Your fans are not the only people that you want to... listen to your shit. You know what I'm saying? You want to get the support of the general public. That's how your songs hit. That's how your music hit. That means, yeah, that's how Bodak Yellow hit. Now, everybody was a fan of you when Bodak Yellow came out, but everybody loved the song. The general public loved the song. So when you piss off the general public, you sealed your album's fate. I'm not even going to say it because it's too soon to say. I'm not saying I ain't going to see her album, but it's looking bleak, honey, because we already got other artists. Doja done said she's dropping an album a week before yours. Taylor's dropping a week after yours. I give it top five, maybe. And that's being real generous. You might not even be in the top tens. And I'm talking Billboard 200. After this shit, yeah, no. And a lot of people are saying that, oh, well, she just need to apologize. She need to apologize. Now, I'm the person that said, I don't think she need to apologize. I think she should have just said nothing. Because she's right. A fake apology, it wouldn't have been real. She's so right about that. Yes, it would have been fake. She should have just said nothing and stopped prolonging the conversation. Now everybody was dragging this shit out the entire week. I kept on scrolling through my TikTok. Cardi B this, Cardi B fat phobic this, and then you kept on fueling it because you kept on going back on live talking about the bullshit. I think, and then the more she talks, the more stupid things come out of her mouth because she said, oh, well, at the end of the day, people die for racism. People don't die from fat phobia. Is this bitch stupid? I'm so sorry. I don't mean to call people a teammate. I'm trying to make it a big thing not to do that. But honey, there are big people that die behind doctors because they said they pleaded to their doctors that something was wrong. And the doctors brushed them off. There are doctors that convince these bigger, heavier set people to get gastric bypasses. And I'm so glad I never subscribed to that, because there was doctors that tried it on me. Honey, I was like just 18, just 19. You get what I'm saying? Saying you can do the gastric bypass or the gastric sleeve, you'll lose a lot of weight. I've seen a lot of big people that got those surgeries and then they have outstanding health problems afterwards and or die. I actually have people in my family that got those surgeries and they lost the weight, but they still have problems because these doctors think that the source of all of their health issues is because they're big. Now, I understand that it's a good number. It's a good dealing of that. But no, there are doctors that sat there and said, well, no, you just got to lose the weight. Once you lose the weight, all your health problems go away. And then these people die. So no, fat phobia does affect. You can die off of fat phobia. That is a real thing. And Cardi, she's not smart. So she doesn't understand that. So that's all the more reason to stop talking about it. Like, you have an album to drop. Worry about that. I don't want to hear her say nothing else about this situation. I know I done talked about it. I've done prolonged the conversation with me talking about it on my podcast. But I'm just saying, girl, shut up. Shut up. Now, imaginary players. Let's get back on that. Light as hell. This was a big misstep. And when I say this, I'm telling you right now, when it comes to music, I'm not going at this because I know I just dragged her for the fatphobic stuff. I'm not against Cardi in her music. I love Cardi when she makes that turn up music. That's the type of artist she is. You're not Jay-Z. You're not Jay-Z's a conscious rapper. You're not. This was a very conscious song. Like she was trying to be a conscious rapper here and talking about the stuff. And then some of this, I was like, okay, girl, okay. I see what you were trying to do. I think that this was not her tempo at all. I think that they put this song, because she got like 10 or 13 different versions of the same song. When they put the acapella verse with a Biggie beat, and that's the same one that Lil' Kim used back in the day, I said, this sound a little better with this beat. I think she should not have used Jay-Z, but we understand why she has a Jay-Z sample. Let's be honest, girl. We know that this was kind of a slight at a certain individual. I'm not. Come on, let's be real. Come on, let's have a real conversation. So, but it really just was not. It didn't do what it needs to do, child. It really didn't do. It seems like Cardi's reading off a teleprompter. We know you didn't write it. Well, they're saying that she did write this, but I'm like, girl, I don't believe it. You can buy writer credit now. So who's to say? I don't care if it just says your name on there. You probably bought some writer credit, okay? And there was no chorus in this song. Girl, this is a 2 to 3 minute song just full of verse. I'm like, girl, girl, I know. Like I said, it feels a little forced. Visually, it looks perfect. I love the air. Like, she's on a private jet. The visual, she got the heels in the damn chandelier. That was cute. Fashion was tea. Body tea. Hair tea. You get what I'm saying? And that's the thing with Cardi. Like, she looked good. But as for musically, no. Like, I think the music video enhances the song. And like I said, I feel like this is not her tempo. Like, she was trying that conscious rap type. And I'm not even going to say conscious rap, right? She was trying to be heavily lyrical in this song. But it just did not land well. It sounded like you were fighting a beat. And it just, listening to it, I can only see some of the songs that you can only listen to when you're watching the video. I feel like that way about This Is America with Childish Gambino. I can never listen to This Is America. Have you ever tried to listen to that song without the damn video? Can't do it. And I feel like the same way with this shit. Cardi B is a turn up artist. I loved Outside. I don't know why we didn't get a video for Outside. That should have been the lead single. Unfortunately, it didn't do well. But that is Cardi. Cardi is the turn up song. That's why Bodak Yellow got with it, all the 10 times platinum. Also, I Like It, another turn up song. Cardi, this ain't you. This and that's just, I mean, that's just that on that. I don't see this making any noise. Like I said, it's a number one on iTunes for however long. We got 300,000 streams on Spotify. It's pretty mixed online. Like, I see a lot of people say that they like it, and I see a lot of people say that they didn't like it. And it's not even just Barb's. it's not even just Barb's. It's a lot of people are saying that it was very light. Like, it didn't really do what it needed to do. I don't mean to sound like a hater, but because let me be very clear. I give Cardi props when it's due. But this ain't it. This is not it. All that drama, all that controversy for this. Okay. Well, we can move on that, child. Tell me what y'all think about that in the comments. All right, we got a couple of who childs before we get up out of here. They saying Steven Jackson drags the hell out of Lil Yachty. Girl, well, here's the story, though. Let me see if I got this pulled up, child. Let me go to my little Instagram. Apparently, right, Lil Yachty, he dropped a snippet on a song on his stream, and basically in the lyrics he said, "Put my knee on her neck, I want George Floyd. I went George Floyd." I ain't playing that shit. But that's basically what he was playing, and obviously he got a little bit of a backlash. This is what the former NBA star Steven Jackson said.
"I'm winning. I'm just trying not to pay attention to you idiots, man, but it's just hard, bro. Like, Lil Yachty, bro. You been whack, my nigga.
Yep.
But you think you saying George Floyd's name and trying to use his name in a bar that's going to make people like your whack-ass music, my nigga? That shit weak. Y'all the only era that feel like demeaning the dead and saying that shit is cool, my nigga. It ain't. And it's me and the whole Third Ward and the whole Houston, Texas riding behind G, man. Don't ever say his name, bro. Y'all, none of y'all knew G. Nothing about him. But y'all want to say his name for clout. Put a knee up on his neck. I do joy. That's some weak ass shit, Yachty. But let somebody die in your family. We gonna do a whole skit about it and see how funny it is, bro. Cut that shit out, man."
Yeah, I think it's definitely high time that a lot of these people, and it's unfortunate this is my generation of like artists and creatives that say shit like this. For it was a time when that shit was like, okay, well, whatever, it's a bar. I know Nicki is known for saying some crazy bars. I remember she saying, "MJ Doctor, you're killing me. I'ma violate these bitches like Chris Stokes." You know what I'm saying? Anyway, R. Kelly couldn't touch the kid. You get what I'm saying? It was a lot of stuff. I mean, she got a little bit of backlash with that Rosa Parks line a couple years back. But I think this is definitely, you don't make jokes about this. But the whole George Floyd situation, the way he died, I mean, it's disrespectful. And yes, you would not like this if somebody did this about your dead relative. I find that people love to clown on and talk about people's dead relatives, but then when that shit is done to you, so Lil Yachty, you trying to be relevant and it's not even working, child. You need to be a streamer like the streamers that you was on. Just set up your little camera, your little tripod, whatever it is out there, and just be a streamer, because rapping ain't it no more. We done. Anyway, let me tell you who's also done with certain things. We got Mariah Carey. Mariah Carey says that the Grammys is overrated. Now, I never saw this clip until now, so I'm going to play it with y'all, child.
I think the Grammys are overrated.
The award or like the show?
Both. But we love everybody. We love everybody.
Oh, girl. I mean, of course, if you're not getting any Grammys, it's over. Ooh, let me stop. Let me not come for the lambs, honey. Let me come for the lambs, fave, honey. Do I think the Grammys is overrated? I think the show is. I think that for the most part, they try to do their best to they redeem themselves when it came to awarding Beyonce Album of the Year, even though I felt like she should have got Album of the Year way back when Lemonade came out. But they have this thing where they never award the right person on the on that specific year, but then they get then they try to okay, we'll give you the award next time. And when the album wasn't really warranted for an album, if that makes sense, right? The Grammys never get it right. And they get it wrong on purpose, and they give it to people that is that, honey, you got a Grammy for what exactly? I think that it is overrated. I think that the show is also overrated as well, because some of the performances on there, I'm like, it's gotten to the point where they just let anybody. Like, there's a lot of new artists that perform at the Grammys, and I don't have an issue with that. I'm not hating on the new artists. But it used to, honey, the legends, the juggernauts, okay, in Billboard, you know what I'm saying, used to perform at the Grammys. Y'all, Beyonce don't even perform there no more, child. She just show up. She just show up every year. Her and Taylor don't perform. You get what I'm saying? It's boring now. I think that there's some truthness by it, even though I feel like Mariah is being a little messy boots and a little bitter, because, honey, your singles didn't really do nothing lately. I mean, I like that sugar sweet song that she did with Kehlani, but honey, what you doing? Where your music at? Child, the lamb's gonna come for me, honey. What's ever left of him. Anyway, what else is going on, child? I was gonna talk about Trump, but I don't want to talk about Trump, child. Okay, I guess we got to talk about Trump for a little bit. That'll be the last topic I get out of here. Child, as it was previously reported, Donald Trump ordered a federal takeover of the D.C. police, which prompted other agencies to come in and patrol the streets under the guise of keeping the community safe and beautiful, right? Air quotes. Hours later, the Trump administration brought a federal official to replace the police chief on the emergency basis, fighting back the Capitol hit Trump with a lawsuit, claiming that he's actually the biggest threat to the city. Damn. The Capitol, okay? In a quick turnaround, a judge has ruled that Trump can retain control of the police department, but will have to run his policing requests through the mayor browser. No, this doesn't completely change things, but at least adds additional checks and balances. This comes with after the White House gave up an update via X on the number of people they arrested since their takeover. Yeah, the White House, I don't know who got they down. I don't know who's manning the White House social medias. They show, like, they arrested a lot of people. Like, I've seen they arrested a lot of people in D.C. It was a lot of, there were definitely some people that needed to be in there. Let's be real. Let's be honest. But then they also were arresting activists. Like, I seen this one woman activist that was arrested, and she was saying her piece and everything. And it's just, yeah, I think that's where we kind of do a little bit of a misstep. And I think that it's very concerning that he's even talking about doing this for places like New York and Chicago, like some of the major cities, Philly, you get what I'm saying? Anytime you bring the feds up into something, like, what are you trying to call for martial law or something? Give us curfews and shit and make, just, I worry that he is really going to be running this country with an iron fist, and it's just going to be bad for a lot of people, because people, I do believe in the midst of those arrests, there were some wrongful arrests. Okay. And it was really on the black side of things. So I just don't like what's going on here, but it is what it is. This is the country that we live in. What can I say? And also, that is it for this episode. We had a nice little lengthy hour. Okay, period. I hope you guys enjoyed the show, and I will be back with more topics. Okay, talk to you later.